But it says if we hold the beginning of our confidence, then shall we be saved if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, there are many a time that we get discouraged and we quit and we give up because things look gloomy or bad, and we know what we want to do and what we how we would like for things to turn out. But things begin to press in on us, and inwardly we have that defeated spirit that takes hold of us and discouragement, and through that many of us give up. But let me read just real quickly, beginning from the 6th verse of the 3rd chapter of Hebrews. I'll read a little bit. Then I've got just two or three things here I jotted down the last few minutes that the Lord especially laid on my heart to bring to you. I'll read just a few things here real quickly before I go right ahead. But Christ over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold first the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. How many here believe tonight that the Word of God tells us here then that Christ is over his own house? Whose house are we? If. You see, that if is in there. It says, under the rejoicing of the hope firm and steadfast to the end. Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works, he was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known the ways. So I swear in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. How many believe that this scripture is as fresh in the heart of God this split second as it was when it fell from the lips of the Apostle Paul to the church and to the general epistle of Hebrews to the Jews at large? And God still understands it. Now notice, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, meaning this, that a many a person has not held the beginning of their confidence. They slowed up. Something crossed their path. Something hindered. It said you did run well, but who hindered? The next verse, while it is called today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all of them that came out of Egypt by Moses, but to whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not within that sin whose carcass fell in the wilderness? And to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, so then they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us, the 11th verse of the 4th chapter, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There's two or three more places as we would go on that is still talking the same thing. Not all of them that came out, but he goes on the very beginning of that, the 3rd chapter, and also the 4th deals with it. He says, brethren, take heed, and here's the scripture here. Wherefore, take heed unto yourselves, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can't depart from the living God unless you have the living God. So he says, I'm reminding you, brethren, that it wasn't all that came out of Egypt by Moses that went in. They came out, but they didn't go in. So then he tells us over and over, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, thousands of them came out victorious at the hand of God and was safe from the land of Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, but they came out and failed to get in. They fell through unbelief. Now he says, Take heed lest there be in any of you. That wasn't the Old Testament. That's Paul talking to the church. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing. Now, with this, the Lord seemed to impress me to show you that God was wanting you to hold the beginning of your confidence. I happened to think of something here and jotted it down. Passing the sound barrier. Passing the sound barrier. We know that there is such a thing as a plane passing the sound barrier. There is a terrific strain that plane is put into when it goes just so fast that the noise that it's making is deafening. It's almost enough to break your eardrums. But that noise is coming forth from those jet motors at such a terrible sound that the vibration of them is sending forth its vibration at the speed of sound. Now then, when that plane keeps going faster and faster, and it goes from a... And then finally, that thing takes off going so fast that the vibrations is going ahead of it until finally she catches up with her vibrations. And it doesn't have any chance to go out. She is going neck and neck with her vibrations. There creates a tremendous pressure, and there's a sound barrier 20 miles away will break your window lights, will shatter things, and people will jump and look around. They think a bomb has gone off. Somebody shot a cannon. Nothing has happened, but the plane caught up with its sound. Created a compression. And when the thing released, it shook window lights 10, 15 miles away. It's been known to break them out, call the sound barrier. Now, do you know that in the spiritual world, there's a test barrier? And the more you study the Bible, and the more you study any character, there's not a one of them ever made a mark for God but what, brother, they were put to the test barrier. Before God used David, he put him to the test barrier. I've got a few that just came to me quickly, but God's talking to individuals sitting here tonight, and he's wanting you to listen to this. You'll say, "Oh, I never have thought about going back." Oh, just a minute. Maybe you haven't, but you're not dead yet. And Satan hasn't checked you off of his books yet. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'd hate to know that everybody that is, the devil suggests to him to go back. Well, you might as well go back. And you may ponder it in your mind a little bit. And I'm so glad that you don't have to go back just because the devil puts it in your mind. I've never gone back, but I'm going to tell you, I've reached places at times I didn't know whether I could go far much more. And I really didn't feel like pressing forward, but there was something in me that had been rooted and grounded. I'll never look back. By God's grace, I'll never look back. And brother, when I went as far as I could, and the pressure built up, and the test barrier was being put there, and my pressure had moved forward until I was catching up with it, and when something was about to break, Almighty God stepped in, and he never does fail. The victory will come just in time. But David came in from a battle before he went to the kingship. God, he had met his Goliath. But brother, that's one thing. That is quick, easy, over. And he had, if you don't mind, the flesh glory just a little bit. The next day he went down on the street, and all the ladies and all the pretty girls were singing, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. David killed his 10,000, Saul killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000 and said everybody, the king said everybody. And all the women on the streets are saying, David killed his 10,000s and Saul just killed his 1,000. Flesh, likely. You know, you'll get those little blow-up times. But time gonna come's gonna see what kind of metal you're made out of. When the time of old Solomon got ready to die, and he'd gone back on God, got old, his heart got away from God. He said, you haven't followed me as your father David did to the end. He kept his heart. He kept his dedication. He worshiped me to the last. God had to put David to the test. And God, you'll say, well, why does God allow us? I don't know. I don't know why for months and months and months. Inwardly, I'll tell you quickly, and God hearing me tell you, I'd say, oh God, please let me die. I didn't want to kill myself. I'd go to hell. But I'd gladly die. Any minute, God'd say, I'm ready for you to die. Oh, thank you, Lord. And if a pain had hit me, that was one period of time, I wouldn't have said, oh, someone pray for me. I'd have said, pray that it'll take me out. I'd have 1,000 times been rather dead than alive. And I've said, I can't live, I can't die, I can't go, I can't come, and I can't sleep, and I can't live. And when I wake up of a morning, I wished it was night. And it seemed that as I was going along, but yet, that was a love I had for God. And to go back, Satan suggested 1,000 things to me. And I said, my face is set as a flint to heaven. I don't know what's coming out, but I do know God will meet me. And I could tell you some of the ways that God brought me out. But I'll say this, I had found out by experience that there would have been another book written had he not give up. Had he not give up, there'd have been another book written that had brought some light on things. But I stayed in there and saw the victory through. And oh, in that darkest hour, had I surrendered to my thoughts, had I yielded to the enemy's temptation, what a difference that book would have read. How different the outcome would have been. But David came in from fighting a battle. He had a handful of men, and he had gone out, and he had a little city that belonged to him. And all of his soldiers had their wives there and their children. And it said that David came in from fighting a battle and winning the battle for God. And when he came in, the enemy had come in from the back and invaded his hometown and destroyed the city and burned it up. Took every one of his soldiers' wives, and David looked around and his home was in ashes and his wife gone and his baby and his children gone. And the men began to murmur, and they arose up and they wanted to attack David and destroy David, because it was through him that he had misused his wisdom, and the enemy came in behind while they were fighting, and now the city is destroyed, and his wives, all the wives, are taken captive, and they're about to attack, they're about to kill David, and they're threatening his life. And so David, in the midst of all of it, it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't have no children to encourage him. He didn't have no wives to encourage him. He didn't have no victories on the battlefront to encourage him. And he didn't have a nice home to encourage him. Everything that would have encouraged him was gone. But he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there was one thing David did when he reached a place that there was no sight, there was no good report, and he might as well quit. Brother, there's a lot of people that would have quit right then. Some that are here tonight, your test barrier, as David's test barrier, reached its height. But the Bible said that David went to the house of God. He approached God, and when he got down before God in the house of God, he cried out and he said, Lord, shall I pursue after these men that have taken our city and destroyed it? What shall I do, Lord? I'm at the point of desperation, and they threaten my life. My men are against me. My wife is gone. My children are gone. All of our army men, their wives are gone, and our city is burned. This is David, your servant, doing the talking. And the Bible says there in Samuel, it said the answer come back and said, this is your God in heaven doing the talking. Arise and be encouraged in the Lord. Go forward, and thou shalt recover all without doubt, and there shall be no loss. You shall find them in a certain place. And God gave a secret out and told David where he had found them. So they had all gone in a certain direction, knowing that when they came in and everything is gone and the place is burned and the men are discouraged, they'd quit. That the devil sometimes sets the case to say, now when all this happens, they're going to quit. Ah, but another book could be written if you just don't quit. Like the song I sang, just don't quit. So it said David went out to his men and said, men, I've heard from God, and God said we shall pursue and overcome them, and we shall take all, and there'll be no loss. So it said they came by night and found them. They all got to drinking, and they got drunk, and they're drinking wine and whatever they had. It said the men of war were dancing around and having a great time, and they were full of wine. And while they were reveling in sin, David and his men came in down upon them and defeated the whole bunch and whipped them, took their cattle, all the other booty they had, took their wives and all the gold that they had. They had been going through the country and taking gold and silver from other little towns too. And so he took all they had and brought it back. And there he had a beautiful city again, a beautiful home, and the wife, and everything was lovely. Why? Because he didn't quit. God is impressing individuals in this building tonight that he said it's not those that come out, it's the ones that endure to the end. Individuals in life have to reach a place before God uses you to any extent. Now you'll say, suppose I'm not to be used as a preacher. Well, I go through that. May I put it this way? Before God permits you to go into heaven and the gates close on you and you line up with God to live forever and ever as long as God lives, so there will not be a chance of something happening to you, God has got to put you through the test, not in heaven, in this life, and somehow or other, you've got to go through something that after you have gone through it, did you bow your head and pray a while ago and say, God, give me something? Did you? Did you mean it? Now, here it is. Listen to it. Here it is. You'll say, Lord, I want to go through. Now, if God brings you through and lets you in heaven, is he going to let you in if you have not been an overcomer? Think it over. So let me see. Just keep on seeing. I'll tell you, I'll give you the answer to that. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. But the fearful and unbelievers, the quitters, don't get nothing. He said, right to the church of Ephesus, Jesus said, write to the church of Ephesus and tell them, these are the things that I'll give to the overcomers in the church of Ephesus, not the church of Ephesus. Not the members of Ephesus, but he that overcometh, write to the church of Smyrna. He that overcometh, write to Pergamos. What does he say? He that overcometh. Not to the church of Pergamos, but he said to him in the church of Pergamos, he that overcometh, to him will I let be a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Right to the church of Thyatira. If you overcome, you will rule the nations with a rod of iron, even as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne, if you overcome. All seven churches, he come to the Laodiceans, and he said, he that overcometh and keep my works to the end, the same shall sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and sit down with my Father in his throne. He said to the Laodiceans, I do not give the Laodiceans anything, but to the ones that overcome in the Laodicean church, to him will I give power, and I will let him sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome. And to another, I think it was Philadelphia, he said, to him that overcometh shall walk with me in white, because he is worthy. It was he that overcometh. Now, when Jesus lets us come in, it said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What is an overcomer? That does not let discouragement, sin, or the devil
overcome you. It is a Christian that makes up your mind to go to heaven. Sure, God saves you. But how many believe the Bible tells us that after we are saved and born again, there is the trials that may come? Think it not strange concerning the fire trials that come upon you, as though some strange thing happened. There's not a person in this building that's been saved any length of time, but what you'd say that there are things that all hell seemed to break loose and you couldn't understand it. Now, if you think that God's going to wrap you up and put powder on you with a powder puff and put you in a little basket with pink ribbon on it and put a big sign on it, fragile, handled with care, bound for heaven, you're mistaken. He's going to put you in a little iron cage with bars on it and throw your opponent in the other end of it and say, now, go to it. I'll furnish grace if you'll furnish the man, and God will back you up as you overcome like God wants you to. Now, I'm talking about passing the test barrier. And brother, there's not a person, as I said, in the Bible that you can read of, I don't care who it is, but what he went through the test barrier. He had to go through it. I read in the Bible where a certain individual that was blessed and God had honored him and all that, and it said that God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, what did God do? God left him to try him. Now, it was that leaving the man that God had to do to try him. It wasn't that God forsook him. God came back in all of his glory and power, but he left him to try him, to see what he was made out of. How many believe that God loved Abraham? Let me see your hand. Well, it wasn't everybody he could afford to say that to. He said, Abraham, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, take Isaac, not Ishmael, but take Isaac, thy only son, the one that came from Sarah, thy wife, the one that you love. That boy was a young man now. Said, take him, carry him up on the mountain, and offer him as a sacrifice. And the Bible says, come on now, I want you to follow him. You say, yeah, but that is Abraham. Yeah, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, did he? No, he didn't. He wasn't born again like we are today. He was only saved through the law. Now, come on. The law wasn't even given yet in Abraham's time. It was just a confidence and faith in God. It was his faith. Now, he didn't have no experience of Jesus. He didn't have one promise that you find in the New Testament. But God said to Abraham, if you love me, take your son up there and offer him as a sacrifice. And he carried him up there, took the boys and left him at the foot of the hill and said, my son and I are going yonder and worship, and we're going to come again. Why? God said, I'm going to give you a son, and he, the son I give you, his seed will be as the stars of heaven. How can he die and have the seed of the stars of heaven? I don't understand what God means, but he said, offer him a sacrifice. So the boy said to his dad when he got up there, said, Dad, we've got the wood here, and we've got the fire, and we've got an altar here. But, Dad, we forgot the sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? Little did he know that he was the one that was going to be thrown on that altar, and he was the sacrifice himself. Now, that's not so easy. Now, a lot of us would have gone to that place, listened to that boy, and just about the time we'd look around everywhere, and God didn't say nothing, and before we reached down and picked him up and laid him on the altar and took the knife and raised it up to do what God told him to do, to offer him as a living sacrifice to God, and to kill him, it said in the Bible that Abraham had faith that God could even raise him from the dead. He was going to carry out his charge and not go back. There was no place to give up. God put him in the test barrier. A lot of us would have waited until about time we laid him up there, and our brain would have went in a whirl. We'd have grabbed a hold of the knife. We'd have taken hold of it. And then we'd have dropped it. So near the victory, so near having your name flashed in all future eternity, faithful Abraham would have never been heard of. He would have never found himself in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Nobody would ever been saying, I'm glad I'm the seed of Abraham.
there would have been nothing to have said, but he utterly disobeyed and failed God. Had he give up the last minute, but because he could not see the outcome, he only knew the inner convictions, and that was to obey God. He raised his hand, and he started on the downward blow with pressure. So much so that God's angel stood behind him unseen. And while he was on his way down, there's no way now to go back. The sound barrier is now building up. And the test pressure, the test barrier is at its peak. And while his hand is coming down to carry out God's will, there was an angel from heaven grabbed it and said, "Stay thy hand, Abraham. Look over there in that brush. There's a ram that God had there caught for this occasion. You stood the test. God bless you, boy. There's no quitting in you. There's no quitting in you." And Abraham breathed deep and caught his breath and said, "Thank you, Jesus," or "Thank you, Lord." Jesus didn't know Jesus then. He hadn't come. He said, "Thank you, Lord." He reached down and got that boy and untied those knots that he had tied his hands with, because it said that he tied him. He reached down and took that boy in his arm. I know he did. And he held it to his bosom. And he said, just a few minutes ago, "Oh, there was such a temptation to hold to you, but to ever fail him. And to deprive the blessing and the feeling and the joy and the fellowship I had with him. But son, I have both of you now." And that's the way it always turns out. If you don't give up, you wind up by having all of them.